and again with the announcements today. We're in the midst of the novena to the Holy Ghost. We began that novena on Friday. It continues on until after Mass on this Saturday, the Vigil of Pentecost. The novena of the Holy Ghost is important just as a way of reminder why it's the importance, why we keep mentioning it and things surrounding it, because it is the first of all the novenas in the church, the first of times in which there was a period of 9 days of prayer, and as the Acts of the Apostles say, in union with Mary, asking, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come down, and through that, with the Holy Ghost coming, to strengthen the apostles, to help them to go forth and fulfill the commandment that Christ gave to them, and also to dwell in the church and give to the church that protection that comes of teaching all truth. Because as our Lord calls the Holy Ghost the Spirit of Truth in the Gospel today, we know that the Holy Ghost, by the indwelling in the church, keeps the church in truth. There may be those who try to promote error, but when they do that, we know they are not part of the truth of the church, because it is not true, and the Holy Ghost is the one who guides the church and would always guide the church in truth. So these are the things that we consider as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Ghost and this novena of the Holy Ghost, at least for the thoughts that come up that way. A common reflection in the novena to the Holy Ghost, because there are several versions that people observe out there, but what we observe here, and which most people do, is a common reflection that is found on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's a good time for us to take the opportunity once a year, at least at this time, to recall to our minds the importance of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, these special gifts that are in our soul as they come with sanctifying grace, and how they assist us and what good works they do for us if we do all that we can to cultivate them. We know the Holy Ghost dwells in our souls by grace. That's the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the Holy Ghost, and what we mean by sanctifying grace. Those who were here from the evening Mass and the Feast of the Ascension heard my sermon. We're speaking particularly about the point of sanctifying grace, the importance of living for it and how to live for it and make it important in our lives. But one of the things that comes with this, with sanctifying grace, are these gifts. At baptism, we receive sanctifying grace. It's renewed in us anytime, sanctifying grace is, anytime we receive the other sacraments, particularly confirmation, and also as well when we do other good works to the love of God in a special supernatural manner, we can increase and multiply the sanctifying grace that's in our soul, that step by step, we can increase this life of God within us. As we increase the life of God, we also can increase the effects of the gifts of the Holy Ghost in our souls. The gifts of the Holy Ghost, I guess one way to define them, is to say they are infused supernatural habits. They are ways of acting. When I say I'm following or practicing a virtue is a good habit repeated over and over and over again, to the point it becomes almost second nature, still supernatural in its desire, so it still has a supernatural reward. But the great struggle to keep practicing it is not there as much as it was in the beginning. Contrary, a vice is a bad habit repeated over and over and over again to the point it almost becomes second nature, and it becomes very hard to work against it to turn the life back to virtue. What we're saying about the gifts of the Holy Ghost is that these are infused supernatural virtues. To infuse, it just means make a part of it. It's nothing I have gained. Nothing I have done on my own brings me these gifts from the Holy Ghost. As the very name implies, they are gifts. Gifts gratuitous because I have not asked for them. Gifts greatly from the love of God that will help me in many ways to perfect the faculties of my soul. I have faculties of body, sight, hearing, taste, touch, those particular things. That's my exterior faculties of the body. But I also have faculties of my soul. Philosophy teaches these particular points to me. They let me know that I have intelligence, that I have the ability of free will, that I have also these passions, good ones and times that use well for God. All of these can be infused as good habits toward God. Sometimes, as far as in the virtues practice, faith, hope, charity, they come with sanctifying grace, but we have to practice them to make them grow. The gifts, they're put there in a fullness, if you will. They're given to us with sanctifying grace, and they reside there. They help us by an impulse, an inspiration of grace. to continue in this good work of habit to do the things for God in a loving manner toward God as our Heavenly Father, to do the works that help us to fulfill the points of holiness, not just the struggle against sin, but actually the work of holiness in my life. This is what the gifts assist me to do. And so when I talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, I speak about them as something, an impulse that's in my life that I need to be docile toward. Docile, it's the idea, you know, think of docile as someone that is passive, is when an inspiration is given, I pay attention to it and I follow it. Very little argument or ideas inviting me. No argument saying, no, I shouldn't do this or I won't do it. But I'm docile. I want to do it. I know I should. It is for my good welfare. And so the gifts of the Holy Ghost impart that docility, the actual desire to do the good things for God as He inspires me, because I love God and because I want to become holy. These gifts are alive in special ways. As we know, there are 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost. In one of the prayers that we pray for the novena, we speak about these 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost to give us the idea here of what we are praying for and what we mean by these gifts of the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost gives to us with sanctifying grace. Let me just go over part of that prayer so we can understand these 7 gifts and just a quick line for each one so we understand what these gifts are, not just in a general way, but specifically what each gift means to you and me as a gift in my soul from Almighty God, and what will come when I exercise this gift, when I put it into practice and make it work within me. In the prayer it says, grant me the spirit of wisdom. And it says about wisdom, that I may despise the perishable things of this world and aspire only after the things that are eternal. The wisdom of God is not something that makes me this smart, intellectual man. The wisdom of God is to know the difference between the world, which is the kingdom of Satan and which is natural, and the supernatural, and that which belongs to God and the things and the ways of God, and to make the right decision and the right choices in that way, to be wise with the wisdom of God Himself toward the perishable things of this world, and trying and working in my whole life toward that which is eternal. Important gift. All of them are important, but look how it does. It keeps my focus on the spiritual life. Helps me not to get bogged down by the temporal things, the worldly things of possessions and desires and so forth. The spirit of understanding enlightens my mind with the light of a divine truth. Truth itself, God's own truth itself. I become enlightened more and more. A bit more of an understanding about certain things. Understanding does not automatically make me this theologian, nor does it open to me and help me to understand and know every possible mystery there is. Why would we call them mysteries if I could know them? But what the gift of understanding helps me to do is to have a little more background, a little more faith in this particular mystery or the divine truths that are there, to make those truths now part of me in my life. Let's call it this way. The gift of understanding helps me with this supernatural aha experience. Aha. I understand this better. I was struggling a little bit to understand this particular truth or to practice it, and now, all of a sudden, by grace, something happened here. Aha, I get it finally. Light bulb goes off. And I now start to practice according to that particular virtue or whatever in a way that I didn't do before. That's the gift of understanding at work. The spirit of counsel, that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. We seek counsel and we seek advice. This is the advice from the Holy Ghost Himself. To know not only a pathway toward heaven, but the pathway to eternal life. The pathway that leads me to Almighty God, surely, securely, with no mistake. That's the spirit of counsel. I listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. I know His voice. I follow it. And I know I am on the right path. The spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with Almighty God, with Jesus Christ, and to overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. First of all, the carrying of the cross. If we wish to be holy, if we wish to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we know since He had to carry the cross, so will we. There is no escaping that. Well, the gift of fortitude helps me to recognize is not just the cross, but that it comes from God and helps me to carry it well. No dragging it along, no complaining about it, but actually carrying it well. And any obstacle that is out there that may take me away from my salvation on that pathway to eternal life, the gift of fortitude helps me to overcome that obstacle to my salvation, overcome it easily and more securely. The spirit of knowledge, you think, okay, gosh, we already had wisdom, we had understanding. Why about knowledge? Wisdom, as we saw with wise, with the things of God. Understanding about divine truths, a bit more of a penetration into them. Knowledge is where I get to know a little bit more about God, and I know God because I know myself better. I know what makes me tick. I know that in these circumstances, it's easier for me to practice virtue, to do good. But I know if I'm around this particular person, if I go to this particular place, if I watch this program, go to this site on the internet, do any of these particular things, I know me. I know me that if I go to those places, I will fall. The gift of knowledge then is to finally have that knowledge of self that says, quit lying to myself, quit being the hypocrite. If I'm going to be holy and do the things for God, then do the things for God. And quit trying to fool myself so I'm stronger than that. And then, woohoo, I wonder, why did I fall? Gee, Father, come in confession. I don't know how I did it or why I did it. Because we don't have a knowledge of yourself and don't want to. Because with that true knowledge of self, teaches me what I must do. But most of all, it opens the doorway so I can know God better. St. Augustine taught us that. In one of his prayers, he says, Lord, teach me to know myself so that I may know thee. If I know myself better, I'm going to be able to come to the ways and the things of God in a much better manner. The spirit of piety is where I find the service of God sweet and amiable. The service of God. Each day to wake up, to pray, to do the things for God, to show my love for God, to desire to do that, to have this joy in serving God, and also recognizing in God my eternal Father. Not just this God up in heaven, but as Jesus explained us to him, he is our kind and loving Father who assists us in every way. The spirit of piety teaches me that better and better, more and more, to where I really live that way. And then finally, the spirit of fear. Fear, not that I tremble in fear and look upon God waiting for the next lightning bolt to strike me. Rather, it is the type of fear that it gives me a loving reverence toward God. Reverence is something that is so lost in society today. Young people have more and more, or little and little, reverence. Reverence toward adults, reverence toward authority. They show that in many different ways. And this is all coming, I think, because the reverence for God is missing. God has become, in many people's minds, something that is either this notion of some being up above, or is my buddy, or this particular nature. The reverence is not there. The spirit of fear doesn't have me tremble before God, but it gives me respect him and his ways better than I should. These are the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Important gifts. Like I said, they're given to us in sanctifying grace. And as we've gone through this list of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, maybe we've looked into our own souls and can say, I haven't practiced those gifts like I should. I know I need to. Or I'm just not there as Father has described them, or this prayer describes them, or as they're further explained during the novena to the Holy Ghost. The gifts are not part of my life. As much as I thought they were, I'm starting to see they're not. I'm so far, far short of them. The gifts are what once some saints have called supernatural common sense. They give me more of an ease in doing the spiritual things in life, more of a comfort in following with God. Not going to say that the following God is not always going to be struggle, but the struggle is accompanied by a grace that helps us at that time so that the work, the pathway toward God, the loving of God, the service of him is, as the prayer says, sweet and amiable. In all things and all that I'm here to do, And I think most of us can say, it's a real struggle to be holy today. It's a real struggle to do the things for God and follow according to the path of God. If I have sanctifying grace, I know I have the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then why is it a struggle? It's a struggle because the gifts of the Holy Ghost only work in the fervent souls. By fervent, I don't mean people that float around in space in some particular way or have all this piety as they're praying and doing all in this excessive manner like that. By fervent, I mean those souls who really do want to have accomplished in their life all that God wants them to do. Each and every day, whatever God asks, they are ready to do it. That's what fervor is. That's the best idea, best understanding what fervor is. Not emotion. Not things that appeal to my inner emotional self and warm and fuzzy feelings. That's that part of the will that says, I will do it. And that's what brings peace to heart and soul, because I am determined I will do this for God. When I have that determination, when I have that fervor, then the gifts of the Holy Ghost are right there to work with me. If I do not have this fervor, if I don't practice the moral virtues well, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance, if I have an attachment to sin, God forbid mortal sin, where I look upon mortal sin not as the greatest evil that's out there, but an oh well, that I am so selfish in my life I can go ahead and commit mortal sin and then do trape off to confession, and God and the priest better forgive me, because after all, that's what the priest is there to do. It's his job to forgive me every time I commit a mortal sin. At some particular point, such an attitude toward confession will catch up toward you, and the priest will say, I can't. Confession is not a revolving door. Confession is something there to make progress toward and not use it as an excuse for falling into sin every week. So you see, if I don't have a detachment from not only from mortal sin, but even venial sin, especially those people who say, oh, it's only a venial sin. I come in late for Mass, it's only a venial sin. I show anger toward people around me, it's not real bad, you know, it's only a venial sin. I tell a few white lies, you know, only a venial sin. You know, I've made an excuse with it for sin. No fervor there. And where there's no fervor, the gifts of the Holy Ghost are not working. So you and I have to be sure of is that we are putting out of our lives that attachment to sin. Mortal sin, venial sin, no excuses. But we live for God in every possible way. Then God turns to us. And these gifts that have laid dormant, if we have sanctifying grace and these gifts are there, but they're just not being used, if they've laid dormant for this time, then they can rise up and assist us on that pathway toward holiness and actually start to become saints and to love to be holy. Boy, what a change. What a change it would make in the life of each individual and the change it would make in the life of every person you and I come in contact with. If I have a desire to be holy, and I evidence that by my life, I can win souls to God and to that holiness too. That's what the gifts of the Holy Ghost will assist us to accomplish. But, we call back to this point, I have to have enough fervor in my heart and soul to activate those gifts to assist me in that manner. As we continue the novena to the Holy Ghost, let this be our prayer. At least it's my prayer for all of us here. As that we will better understand what the gifts of the Holy Ghost are, how to better activate them, if you will, in our hearts and souls. And then when we do, that we become more docile to the Holy Ghost, obedient to his inspirations, step by step following him in this pathway toward holiness, overcoming all obstacles, knowing that I can and will see upon God, my kind and loving Father. Have a desire, a great desire, to know him better through knowledge of myself. These parts and many more are ours if the gifts of the Holy Ghost are active and working in our souls. Let's pray that they can be that active every day of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.